Right, today we have an encouraging message, challenging message, one that you've probably heard many times before when we look at what this is all about. But it's already been said a couple of three times today about our ears. Even Susan said, have you got your listening ears on? Now for me, when I was growing up, or when I was a teenager and I went to work, my foreman would tell me something and he'd say, have you got that? And I'd say, yes. And I'd go away and think, what did he say? Because I wasn't really listening. I heard what I thought he was saying, but I wasn't really listening. And sometimes that can be the same with us when we are in certain circumstances and situations. Now, I won't look at Mike, because he never hears anything unless you talk to him on the right side. Or is it the left side? The right side. So I want to start by reading this account in Luke 8, starting at verse 1. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He was preaching the gospel, in other words. The 12 were with him, that's the 12 disciples, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons were had come out. Joanna, the wife of whoever that is. And the picture is, there's Jesus, his disciples, and other people that are there. And these particular women are mentioned because they're providing for his daily needs. They're providing for the things that are necessary. And we don't always hear about these things. But there were many women in this day that were able to, at their own means, and willing to, out of their own passion, to serve Christ and those that were around him. And when we look at some of these women, those women were helping to support them out of their own means. And this is something that we overlook whenever we read portions of Scripture. While a large crowd was gathering and the people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them a parable. And when we look at parable, it's to come alongside. It's to illustrate, to expand, to simply say alongside what it is Jesus is trying to say. Now, for me, I don't know how it has been for you guys, but for me, I always found it easy to understand the parables, because maybe I look at things in a simplistic way. I'm a bit poetic, but I can see what people are saying. It's like I was hoovering the other day. Yes, I was. And I was hoovering the floor. No, no, in the home, not in my workshop. And we've got a hoover that has a light on the front. And I didn't bother to turn the main light on. And as I turned the hoover on, the light came on. And it was amazing how much dust I saw because of the light. Try it. Because of the light, I'm thinking, my goodness, there's so much dust on this floor. But when you turn the big light on, it doesn't show the dirt that's on the floor. Now, for me, I could use that as a parable, to come alongside a gospel message that is the light of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that shines up the dirt within our lives, that shows us that we are sinners in need of a Saviour, and give that parable. It comes alongside. So if you didn't hear the first bit, you may have heard the second, where I simply said, it's the light that shines up the darkness. It's the light that shines up the dust around us. So Jesus spoke in parables. And this parable is a parable that I'm sure many of you have heard on many different occasions, but I think it's worth just highlighting afresh in our lives, on our journey. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Now, when we look at the path, it was the well-trodden pathway. Most of you, if you go out walking, you'll see there's a natural pathway that everybody has walked on, and it becomes hardened over the time. And that's the same with this. So as the seed was scattered, it fell on the pathway. It didn't have chance to go into the soil at all. The birds came and ate it up. It's simply what Jesus is saying here. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture or had very little root, many versions will say. Other seed fell along the thorns, which grew up and it choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and it yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When you first look at this portion of scripture, if you wasn't a Christian, you would look at the soil types. You'd look at the circumstances and you'd see that this sower had just simply scattered seed. And they didn't put it in a row. It was just simply scattered. Some fell in one place, some fell on another. And according to the circumstances of the soils, so really maybe this should be called the parable of the soils instead of the parable of the sower. There was 4 different types of soil, which we'll see as Jesus goes on to explain, represents our heart. Represents different attitudes to what Jesus has said and what he will say in our lives. In Matthew 13, it talks about Jesus speaking in parables. And if I go up here, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. It goes back to my upbringing. I was so wanted to get on with whatever I wanted to get on with. Whenever someone said something, I said yes, 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 and then go away and just forget what they said. Ever hearing, but never perceiving, never really understanding. Have you ever walked past a conversation behind a door and you just hear a couple of words and you think you know the whole subject? You've heard, but you haven't heard. You think you know what's being said, but you haven't lingered along long enough to find out the full picture of the full story. And this is what Jesus is trying to say here. He's saying, you know, there's times where you'll be out and you'll be ministering the word. He'll be preaching from town to town, village to village. And there will be people that will hear the message and those that won't hear the message. Yet they was all in the same room. And they all had an opportunity to hear the message. And so Jesus is saying, sometimes you listen but you don't hear. So my message is, are you hearing today? Do you have ears to hear? This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. That's the key word. They do not hear or understand what it is that they're being told. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. So when we look at what is being said in Isaiah, it marries up with what's being taught in the New Testament about the soil has to do with our hearts. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. So Jesus gives a parable and then he explains it for us. In the day of Isaiah, it was not explained, but it's explained for us today. So there's no missing what he is trying to say. So I want you to listen to what he's saying. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When someone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes along and snatches away that which was sown in their heart. And there's times, opportunities, you must have met people. Maybe you was one of those people where you heard the message, but you just didn't understand it. And the little bit that you thought you understood, the enemy just come along and he just snatched it away. Well, this is the seed along the path, along the hard areas. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. And have you met people like that? Who they've been in a meeting, whether it's a large meeting or a small meeting, and it's an emotional time for them. They're going through a particularly bad time. They're wondering, is God real? And there's a message preached, and something happens within them, and there's an emotional response, and they give their life to the Lord, and they're happy that they've been saved. That's what they think is happening when that appeal is given. But Scripture tells us, the seed falling on the rock, do not understand it. The seed falling on the ground, rocky ground, refers to those who hear the word and receive it with joy. But since they have no root, in other words, they haven't allowed that seed to germinate. And when you look at the rocky places, there would be soil. When you look at the field in those days, there'd be soil there, but there'd be hard areas underneath, only about an inch or 2 inches below the surface. So the seed would germinate and it'd start to root, but it would hit rock and it would just wither. And that's what Jesus is referring to there. It's kind of something that's easy to grab hold of because it goes alongside the truth of our heart condition. The word at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. Just look at that portion of Scripture. It's not saying because God's not real. It's because trial and tribulation. And so often, I might have mentioned this before, but when Susan and I first became Christians, before we became Christians, we were just two young people with a family living life and trying to do the best. You've been there? Just trying to do the best with what we'd been given. You know, we both had two or three jobs each to try and make things work. And then we were both healthy. And then we made our commitments and we became Christians. And it just seemed that overnight Susan lost her health. She couldn't walk properly. I used to push her around in a wheelchair, carry her upstairs. There was a fatigue that came over her that we could not explain. And yet, for Susan, it is true to say she never once blamed God, because we're in the world but not of the world. She didn't equate her well-being, or I didn't equate my prosperity, with God's goodness. God's goodness to us was that he sent his son to die on a cross. So hopefully, what time has told me and Susan is that there was a seed that was sown and we allowed it to germinate. But there are people who accept God's word because they want to be those that go to heaven and not go to hell. But when circumstances come along, they say things like this: I've lost my faith. Well, if you've lost it, you never had it. And if you've got it, you'll never lose it. That's a mouthful in itself, isn't it? But that's the truth. Yes? If you lose it, you never had it. And if you've got it, you'll never lose it. So when trial and tribulation comes along, it's important that we understand that Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is an important message, even though it's a simplistic message, one that you may have heard in a different format many times over and over. But it's important for us to allow that word to go deep, to be rooted within us, so that we can ultimately do what this parable says when it comes to the last soil condition. It falls away. It says the seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. And I remember talking to a very wealthy man, and he said, I don't need anything. I've got everything I need. And then over a period of time, there was things happening in his life. He had money that he could buy whatever he wanted. This man was a very wealthy individual. He'd worked hard and he'd earned everything he had in the bank, everything he'd stored up. But his health was declining, and he said one day, Andrew, I want what you've got. He could see a light within me because of the grace of God. See, it doesn't matter how wealthy we are or how poor we are. This parable will include us. This parable will include us. We all have had one of these heart conditions at one time or another. No matter who you meet, whether they're wealthy or whether they're poor, they will have one of these heart conditions. They will see that there's a sowing of God's word, but the thorns Have you noticed that in your garden in time of drought, the grass will wither, but the weeds will grow? Well, because the weeds are deep-rooted. The weeds are deep-rooted. The weeds, and you could say the lies and the deception of the evil one, is deep-rooted. It's not just shallow. It just don't sit on the top. It's deep-rooted. And it will steal and rob the moisture around the good soil because it's planted side by side. And it will go down and it will strip the soil of all its nutrients. So we should get rid of the plants and just plant weeds if you want evergreen. But there's a truth to this, is what Jesus is saying. You know, when we allow that seed to fall upon the thorns and the thistles and the briars, we will choke and eventually we will wither. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's a heart condition. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. And this is where the parable alongside comes in, because he's not just talking about something that they didn't understand when it comes to farming illustrations. They understood. I understand farming illustrations because I've been around landscaping. If you're into carpentry, you'd understand carpentry illustrations. Jesus was talking to these people according to what they knew, so that there was a parallel to the words he was speaking. There was a story that backed it up. And he's talking about the sower and he's talking about the seeds. The seed falling on good soil refers to one who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces the crop, yielding 100, 60, 30 times that which was sown. Jesus is saying that when you're sown, when the word, and the seed is the word of God. Jesus tells us this. So when the word of God is preached, proclaimed, read, listened to, if we understand it and we allow it to germinate into good part of our heart, into good soil, where we can understand and say, Lord, clear out the rubble in my life. Clear away the weeds in my life. I repent. I come to you. As we repent, as we push out and turn away from evil, then the goodness comes in. It's good soil. Does that mean that life will be easy? No. Does it mean that it will always be difficult? No. Does it mean there'll be a circumstance in the situation? Yes. Does it mean that family member won't tease you? No. Does it mean that you won't suffer in your health, won't suffer with your finances? No. Does it mean that you'll have an inner peace? Yes. If that seed is sown and allowed to germinate. So as we look at the parable of the sower, let's understand what Jesus is actually saying here. Are we good soil? But more than that, are we listening? Do we hear what God says? It says this in Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, they do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it is sent. You see, when God's word is proclaimed, it does not necessarily always fall on deaf ears. When the sower was sowing, there was a produce 30, 60, 100 times. You know, when we share God's word, there will be someone that will have a hard heart and someone that will have a rocky heart and someone that will let the cares of this world rob them and steal from them. And there'll be those that have a fertile ground where the word of God will go deep. As Christians, this is still true for us today. Those that have said, Lord, come and be my Savior and my Lord. We will have times where the word of God is sown, and if we're not careful, we can be the same as this illustration here. There's times it's, no, this is too hard. I can't do that because it will cause me trouble. It will cause me strife. But God's word says, fear not. It says fear not a lot of times in Scripture, for I am with you. So we, if we're not careful, can walk sometimes into this because we'll hear God's word and we won't allow it to germinate in our lives. For instance, if Davy's in hospital, we will say to him, Davy, remember this, God will never leave you or forsake you. You're not on your own, for he lives in you. That's the word. And if he has a soft heart, he'll receive that and go, yes, my Redeemer lives. So when we have an opportunity to hear God's word, see it as a seed being sown in season. See it as an opportunity to allow that seed to germinate and produce a harvest within our lives. You know, we know ourselves as Christians. When God asks us to forgive, it's tough sometimes, isn't it? Or is it just my relationships? It's tough sometimes. Why should I forgive them? Because God's word says, because I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you, now forgive. Produce good seed. Allow that seed to germinate. That's my encouragement today. In Mark 4:1 says this. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, listen. It's the first thing that scripture tells us. We have opportunities to say so much. But you know what? If nobody's listening, you're not communicating. If you're a teacher or a lecturer or a preacher, if you're somebody that's speaking and nobody hears what you said, you're not teaching. If you're listening to what your tutor is saying and it's not going in, it's not producing anything. So you may hear something like me when Susan says to me, can you X, Y, Z? Do you mind just putting the washing on the line, Andrew? Yes. She comes home and I go, is that what you said? Sorry, I didn't hear you. Right? I heard, but I didn't hear. You know, I heard, but I wasn't listening. I never had my listening ears on. And so often when we read scripture, we can say, yeah, I know that. I know that. We can preach. We don't in this church very often. We can preach about giving, about giving, about giving, about finance, about sowing into God's kingdom. And you go, yeah, yeah, we know, we know, we know. And the tithes go down instead of going up. So we haven't heard. But when we hear what God says, be a joyful giver. You know, agree an amount in your heart and give it to the Lord. We see what his word's saying rather than what the preacher's saying. Yes. So it produces something. If we have ears that will hear, then we'll have eyes that will see, and we'll hear and we'll see what God is saying. And if we allow that seed to go in, then it will produce a harvest. For some, it will be 30, some 60, some 100. God has gifted all of us, given us all talents and abilities. But this is the key word here in this portion of scripture for me. Listen. Then he said, a farmer went out to sow a seed. Listen, God sowed the word. The word became flesh. The flesh became spirit. There was, I heard someone say this. I don't know if I can do it justice, but I'll try. She was talking to somebody that was on a journey of faith. And they didn't quite understand, you know, the whole gospel story. And this young woman said to this older man, just imagine a glove. A glove is made in the image of a hand. And the hand is made to fit in the glove. And when the hand fits in the glove becomes alive. We are made in the image of God. When God comes to live in us, we are spiritually alive. And I thought that was a great way of giving a parable to give this man an understanding of being filled with his spirit. You know, as a hand brings a glove to life, because it's inside, then God's spirit brings our spirit alive because he lives within us. It's a parable. It's something that will bring us alongside what God is saying and expand on his truth. In 1 John 2:19, they went out from us because they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. And this is what I said, if you lose your faith, you never had your faith. If you've got your faith, you'll never lose your faith. If you're saved, you're saved, yes? If you're not, you're not. And they went from them because they were never with them. You know, there's a portion of scripture, and we need to be careful sometimes of I like it when I see men, women, and children flocking to the front of a church and repenting and giving their hearts to the Lord. But statistically, sadly, it's been that only a small percentage of those people are rooted. The rest are the other soils. You know, they spring up with enthusiasm. I will do this for you, Lord. I will do that. And then trial and tribulation comes and they stop going to church. They stop reading their Bibles. But you know what? If those people really made that commitment, even though it may take time, they will come back to the Lord. And they will say, here I am, use me. So this portion of scripture says, and with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. It's quite encouraging, not, isn't it? But if you've got it, you'll never lose it. That's the encouraging word of God. You know, there's a portion of scripture where it says that you've got individuals talking to the Lord now, and they say, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons? Did I not do miracles? And Jesus says, depart from me, for I do not know you. So that's not enough just to know about God. We need to know God. It's not just enough to attend church. It's not just enough to work good works in the kingdom. We need to allow his word to germinate in our lives and produce a harvest. You see, the Bible says a tree is known by its fruit. If I say to you, I care, then hopefully you'll see that I'm a carer. I've said it time before. But if I say to you that I am a plumber, and you ask me to fix a tap and I can't, then I'm not a plumber, am I? If I say I'm a pear tree and I give you apples, you get the gist. A tree is known by its fruit. So Christians are known by longevity. They'll walk through the treacle, the good, the bad and the ugly. They'll keep on going. Why? Because their Redeemer lives. So I want to encourage us to say, Lord, if there's any rubble in my life, if there's any weeds in my life, then Lord, take them away. I want to have this good soil. So when I hear your word next, it will germinate. It won't be choked by the cares of this world. It won't be misled by the smooth trickery of other people. Lord, when I read your word, I'll see the truth, and the truth will ultimately set me free. I won't have to worry about what someone else is trying to say, because I will know what your word says to me, because it's germinated, it's rooted in good soil. So you won't be swayed. If you hear a lie, you'll know it's a lie. Why? Because you know the truth. You've allowed the light of the love of the Lord to vacuum up the rubbish in your life, if we use that parable, and you'll see what God says about us. See what he says about you. In John 15:5, it says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, I in you, you will bear much fruit. So what's the key? We need to remain in Christ. So there are opportunities we have to do what God calls us to do. But we need to remain in him. You see, he is the vine. We are the branches. It talks about that vine being pruned, doesn't it? It feels hard at times. God may cut off a relationship. He may cut off certain things in our lives. Because we've said, create in me a clean heart. Okay, I'll cut that off. And renew a right spirit. I've had a conversation with a few people over the last few months. And there's a return to holiness. I know this sounds might sound that it's obvious that we want to be holy, don't we? But I've spoken to people and they've gone, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I need God to help me on this journey. In my own life, you know, it says about the speck of sawdust and the plank. We need to look at the man in the mirror and start with him and go, Lord, show me that plank. Show me that speck. So as we stay remained in the vine, it says he will remain in us and we remain in him. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away. It withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. according to God's plans and purposes, yes?
So let's be encouraged to stay close to the Lord, to stay connected to the vine, which is Christ Jesus. My final scripture is in Matthew 7, starting at verse 24. It says this: therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine — this is Jesus talking now, and he's almost giving another parable, another story that they would understand, and we should understand this parable as well. It says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine — so they've heard them. So today, I speak loud, so most of you would have heard what I've said. And Jesus is saying the same thing. I've spoken and you've heard them, and puts them into practice. So not just be hearers of the word, Bible says, be doers of the word. So when the Bible says, I need you to forgive, you go, okay, I've forgiven. I need you to repent, you repent. I need you to stand, you stand. I need you to sit, you sit. It's when we hear and do that we fulfill the promises of God in our lives. The man who practices is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now just imagine that. You know this story. You've heard it time and time again. You can preach a message just on this parable alone. But to bring it in line with what I'm trying to say about, do we hear what God says? You've got a solid foundation, yes? It's rock. It's bedrock. You know that it's not going to sink. And you dig down, you put your foundation, you start building on that rock. And you build something that is magnificent. So when you look at it, it's a thing of beauty. Just picture that alongside what Jesus is saying. The rain came down and the storm rose and the wind blew against and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So when trial and tribulation come, when some of the things that we've heard about in the parable of the sower, the different soils, the birds would try and peck at this building, didn't get through. The weeds would not grow up and choke what's happening because it couldn't get through the rock. You've got a story here about something that is solid. And when we look through scripture, there's nothing more solid than the promises of God. So if we build our life on the promises of God, the foundation, Jesus, scripture says it like this: no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. So we build upon Christ. So when we look at this story here and we take it as a parable, it's saying build on something solid, build on Christ. Don't build on the worship team, don't build on the pastor, don't build on friendships, build on Christ. And then when the wind of adversity comes, when the false teachers come, when the messages that are given to tickle our ears come, we will know that they're false or they're true. Why? Because we built upon Christ. You can't preach a different gospel, the Bible says. Is it the gospel of Christ? Is it the gospel of salvation that say this? You can't earn it. Just receive it. It's a gift of grace. So when someone tells you that you need to earn it, you need to be a better person. Oh, I can never be a Christian. I'm not good enough. No, you're not, but he is. That's the gospel. My salvation is found in Christ. So this portion of scripture is saying, let's build on something that is solid. So let's carry on, because where there's a good, there's a bad. Where there's a heaven, there's a hell. It says this: but anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. So it's all about hearing the word. So one heard the word and built on rock. The other one heard the word and built on sand. They both built something, didn't they? When you look at this portion of scripture, it's quite evident that both buildings were being built. So just imagine, it's being built on the sand and it's a magnificent structure. In fact, they may have both had the same plans. So when you look at these buildings side by side, they look the same, yeah? When you meet people, they're in the same role of employment as you. They're in the same status as you. They live on the same estate as you. Their house looks like your house. So when we equate that to our spiritual houses, you can meet somebody in church, you can meet someone in the supermarket, and they're just like you. They speak the same accent as you speak. They look like you. And yet one of you may have your life built on something solid,
I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ came to save me. I'm a sinner and he set me free. The other one is, I'm a Frank Sinatra fan. I can do it my way. And they both look the same. But when the cares and the wind and the waves of adversity comes, you lose something that's precious to you. The amount of people I've ministered to who've said, I used to be a Christian, but my... And then they put their family member in, died in an accident. How can a loving God allow that to happen? I don't want anything to do with him. They built their house on sand. They built their house on how they feel. It's not about feelings, it's about faith. Walk by faith, not by sight, the Bible says. So it's important to build your foundation. If you're a new Christian, then you build your life on what Jesus has said. What does God say? I love it. I have somebody I won't look at, and she rings me up and says, what does this mean? I've read through that and it seems contradictory. And so we talk about it. I go, let's see what God says. Let's see what his word says about it. Ah, okay. She's building her house on something solid. Not on just what she thinks it says, but what God actually says. So as we go through life, there will be wind and waves. There'll be buffeting. We'll be buffeted, yes? There'll be circumstances and situations. There'll be times where a wave will be so big, be so powerful, it tries to take the very foundations under us. But it can't if we're built on Christ. So I know I've gone a little bit all over the place, but there's parable after parable that comes alongside the truth of God's word to illustrate it. So you could either be someone that's heard the word of God, and you've allowed the cares of this world to choke, and you've allowed the birds to come and steal. Or we can say, Lord, this is good soil. This is good soil. I want to hear your word. I want to produce something. I want to produce something. You know, if you're a blade of grass, then you'll produce a blade of grass. You know, we need to produce after our own kind. We are Christians, followers of Christ. We want others to be part of this journey, don't we? But if we look at our building and when adversity comes, we collapse, then the building was never built by God. And that's what Scripture tells us through these parables. As we look at the thread that goes through Scripture, I find it fascinating. They went from us because they were never with us. There are people you know that once fellowshipped with you in maybe this church or other churches. And when you look at what they're doing now, they're going nowhere. They're on the way to nowhere. They're serving themselves. Why? Because their foundation, it's not my words, they're his words. The foundations were built on sand. So when tough times come, when someone upset them with a hurty word or they didn't do what they said, and I'm being a bit flippant here, sometimes it's a lot worse than that, then they fall away. Why? Because they had no roots. They wasn't building on the foundation. So I'm going to leave it there because it is an encouraging word. It's a word that says, for us here in this room, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, he lives in us. And if he lives in us, then when we build according to his plans and purposes. If we are Christians born of his spirit, that's what it means to be born again. It's the spirit of God has come in like a hand in a glove. And he brings alive this part of our life that was once dead. We can be assured of this. That if we take God's word and we obey God's word, he'll build the foundation. Not only will he build the foundation, but he'll build the house. The Bible says that you are that temple. You know, brick by brick, we come together. Brick by brick, he builds something. Brick by brick, in your life, he'll build something. So often, I want to put the roof on before I see the walls go up. Well, if the walls don't go up, it won't hold the roof. So there's an order that God has for us. As we look into his word, as we build on that solid foundation that Jesus came to pay for my sin and your sin, as we receive him by that gift of faith, as we allow him to come in, then he will build with us. Why? Because the Bible says, Jesus says it himself, you are co-workers. You're not on your own. He builds with you. He helps you. You know, while you're looking one way, he's pulling the weed up. While you look another way, he's pulling the thorns out. Why? Because we want to be clean. Because we're in the vine. And he's the vine dresser. And he cuts those bits out of our lives. So let's just pray as we close and we give our worship and our adoration to him. And Lord, I thank you that you formed us. You made us, that you've enabled us. You've put our feet on a solid foundation, that we can build our lives on you. And when the wind and the waves of adversity come, we will stand because you are our foundation. Lord, we want you to continue to encourage us to be good soil. Lord, good soil that will produce a harvest of righteousness, right standing with you. That, Lord, you'll give us the ability to be those that will hear and understand what your word is saying to us. That we will hear and understand what your word is saying to us, so that we can be those that will digest the truth, be set free from the truth. Encourage us today, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, if we've walked away in other areas where we've allowed the weeds to come in and choke us. Lord, we pray and spiritually remove those weeds out of our lives. Father, we stand in the gap for those that we care about, those that we love. We want to be those that will help them remove the rubble and the rocks and the weeds and the thistles and the thorns from their lives. We want to pray for them. We want to encourage them. We want to draw alongside them so that they too can be free from the work of the evil one. Lord, bless us this day that we may be a blessing. Lord, encourage us that we may be encouragers. Lord, give us ears that will hear and eyes that will see. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.